This is Paul Puckett, your host of Getting There, the money show that focuses on your life. Welcome to the conversation. I say conversation even though I'm still not doing the call-in idea for the show, often because, as of I'm doing today, sometimes I pre-record, which would make it a little difficult for callers. You know, we've talked a little bit about the fact that we are living longer today, really, than at any time in recent history. Medical technology has improved our ability to survive accidents. It's lengthened our lives, but sometimes not the quality of our lives. So I wanted to let you know that in probably starting next week, we're going to do a one or two part segment on what that means, particularly for those of you who are seniors, when you begin to lose something called the activities of daily living. And I'll cover the seven activities of daily living in the first of those shows, and probably be inviting some guests to talk about the cost, which is just unbelievably high, of long-term care and how to prepare for that, whether you have almost no money, some money, or a boatload of money. There's different approaches to that issue. But, you know, let's talk today about something we have brought up in the past shows several times, and that is the transition that we face when we move into retirement. I refer to it as your biggest transition, mainly because, unlike the other transitions you have in life, you've already had decades of building habits and expectations, and suddenly, either your decision, a health issue, or the company's decision, you find yourself retired. Now, for those of you that are already retired, that doesn't mean skip the show, because I'm going to be giving some advice on how to be happy, wild, and carefree in retirement. That phrase is from a book I'll be talking about later in the show, Happy, Wild, and Carefree, and how to retire happy, wild, and carefree. Let's take a pause briefly for our little disclosure, so I'll remember to do it on the show. My name is Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors, which is based in Virginia Beach, serving clients in Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. I'm also an insurance agent, independent, serving clients in Florida and Virginia, handling life, long-term care, and fixed annuities. Regulators like me to also say indexed annuities, which is a form of a fixed annuity. All advice given on this show is general in nature. You don't want to listen too much to general advice, because it may or may not apply exactly to your financial circumstances. It's designed to make you think. This whole show is designed to make you think. So getting back to this big transition. Well, why is it so big? Why is it so big? Well, when we're born, that's a transition from whatever we are before we're born to being here. But we don't remember any of that, and maybe there isn't any of that. I'm not trying to get into spirituality here. But all of a sudden, here we are on the planet, and we learn how to speak, walk, we get potty trained, we basically learn the activities of daily living, which we continue doing, some of us, until the day we are no longer here. That's the ultimate transition. We all know it's going to happen, so no reason to dodge the topic. But what happens in between being born and passing away? Well, a lot. It's called our life. And it's one of the reasons why I always say, because life is limited, and we don't really know how limited, it is much more valuable than any asset you can own. You can't buy a life. Which reminds me of a skit I did. I'll have to release that video again, pointing out how important our life and our time is. Well, our first transition, the parents take us down to Kmart or wherever, and they buy us new clothing and a backpack, and they pat us on the head, and possibly while crying, take our picture as they put us on the school bus or drop us off at school. Then you have transitions through each grade. Maybe you start dating at some point, and you have the transitions of breakups and hookups and, you know, the magical years of learning how to live with other people. Maybe one day we even get married. We go to college, probably before that. Or we go to work, one of the two. If you go to college, you get through college, and finally you get a job and you're out in the workforce. We have children, or divorce, or both. We deal with our parents passing and family members. So all these things are transitions, some of them bigger than others. But the really big one, if you're lucky, you hit a point where you can retire. Isn't that wonderful? Suddenly, though, you go, and this can be particularly hard, not to get gender specific, but it's been my observation, this can be particularly hard on men. The more you identify with your career, the harder it is to transition to retirement. It helps to have hobbies. It helps to have things you like to do that are not relevant to working. So we're going to talk about a few of those things. We're going to talk about them after a nice little song, a nice peppy song from an artist I love, Bernard Allison. This song isn't exactly about retiring. It's about getting to the other side.
Yeah.
And that was Bernard Allison. On the other side, his father, Luther Allison, was just an unbelievable blues man. It sort of combined Chicago blues with blues rock. One of my favorites. I'll have to play some Luther Allison on the show if I haven't already. Bernard is his son, mainly touring in Europe, and he has some awesome music if you're into blues and electric guitar and sort of a nice funky sound. I want to recommend, with some caution, a website for your resources, Real Deal Retirement. Real Deal Retirement, that's www.realdealretirement.com, all put together with no spaces, as I'm sure you're used to when you're on the internet. Now, why do I say with some hesitation? Walter Updegrave is a journalist I often agree with, and he started a website to help people understand the real deal of retirement. However, and this is one of the reasons why I don't have any advertising on my website and may never, even though it'd be a nice income generator, I'm only going to do it if I can control the ads. So although my caution is that Walter tends to lean towards the academic recommendations for retirement rather than the practical. What am I talking about? Annuities. The government and places like the Center for Retirement Studies in Boston have recommended now that you consider, for income purposes, annuities in retirement, but they've recommended two specific annuities, both of which are good from a purely academic standpoint, both of which are hard to purchase because of the practical side of what you do. So just a brief note on product, and then we're going to get back to the fun of retirement. It should be fun, shouldn't it? If you go to Real Deal Retirement, there's an article recent called How to Live Longer. I love it when the title doesn't print. How to Live Longer and Enjoy Retirement, I believe is the title. But if you go to realdealretirement.com, you'll find it. And he has ads on the website that contradict some of what he puts in. So you have these two kinds of annuities, immediate annuities and something called a longevity annuity, which is basically an immediate annuity purchased in advance. Did you just get a headache? Immediate annuities, you write a check to an insurance company, and they immediately begin writing you checks for the rest of your life. And you have options. A lot of people think, hey, the bad thing about that is if I die in 6 months, the money's gone. No, not necessarily. That's called a life-only annuity, but you can have a joint life annuity, which ends when the second person passes away. And you can also have annuities with life plus a period certain. So you can say, I would like you to pay me at minimum, pay me or my beneficiaries for the next 20 years. And then after that, until I pass away. You can also do 5, 10, 15. It does affect the amount of your payout for obvious reasons. You can also have an installment or cash refund immediate annuity, which means whatever you didn't get goes to your heirs when you pass away, either as a lump sum or in installments. Now, I'm only bringing this up because it really should require more time than I'm giving it, because it's very difficult for people to buy either one of those annuities, particularly the second one. Why? Well, let's say you've got $500,000. And you need to have $12,000 of income, and you're 65. Roughly, it's going to require almost $200,000, that would be 40% of your portfolio, to go into an immediate annuity. That means the day after you write the check, you don't have $500,000, you have $300,000. It's hard for some people to do. I mean, you can't change your mind and go back and get it. It's gone. It's an irrevocable contract, meaning you can't change it. On the other hand, it's guaranteed, and you will be getting those checks the rest of your life. So why don't people do it? Well, because it's very difficult to write a check that big. Not necessarily in dollars. Well, it is in dollars, too, but as a percentage of your portfolio. Your net worth drops when you buy an immediate annuity. Now, the contingent deferred annuity or longevity annuity is a little more difficult. Let's say you buy one at 55 and you write a check for $100,000. That annuity will begin paying you, say, around age 70, 75. All of those products have minimums where minimum age is, where you can't do it and then get the money at 65. It's delayed. Now, the delay means you get tremendously more in dollars because the insurance companies held your funds for so long. And some of those do have an out if something happens to you. But you basically have written a check for an asset that no longer exists on your financial statement. Difficult for people to do. That's why I tend to look at fixed annuities and index annuities that have income riders. I do not like, for reasons we've already discussed and will always discuss, variable annuities because they are extremely expensive. And when you lose money in a variable annuity, if the market falls, very difficult to write off the losses. If you're higher income bracket for tax purposes, you also should know that all annuities, the income they distribute, whether it comes from the growth of a subaccount in a variable annuity or from a dividend, not a dividend, an interest payment, it's all considered ordinary income. So you have no capital gains advantage, which you should have when you're in the market. More than I meant to say, but Walter Upgrave wrote a great article on retiring when you live longer, how to have a happier retirement. So I'm curious, for those of you who are already retired or those of you who are planning to retire, do you have any hobbies? Because it turns out that people who do look forward to retirement and enjoy it more because they can finally take more time to focus on the things they enjoy doing. I'll give you an example of a hobby of mine, which at times can be frustrating, but it's still fun. I have a dresser that came from the guest room in my parents' house, which I sold recently. And it was veneer, and it had some chips in it that really you couldn't repair and keep the exact same look. So someone suggested that I attempt to distress this dresser. Now, that could have distressed me, but I thought it would be fun. And it is, even though I'm redoing part of it. So what is that? Well, you strip everything off the piece of furniture, the polyurethane, the finish that's currently on it, and you sand it back down. You've got to be careful when it's veneer. You can't sand too deep because veneer is just a thin little layer. And then you either stain or paint the piece of furniture. And hopefully come out with a really nice looking but different look than you had before. Well, when I did it, I followed the instructions exactly, more or less, being male, and it turned out that I made one little error right at the very end, and what was supposed to finish the furniture and give it a durable, hard, waterproof surface turned out to also strip everything I'd already done. So I'm redoing it. Now, if I was retired, of course, I could redo it immediately. As it is, I've got to wait till this weekend, and I was really looking forward to getting this piece done. So that's one of my hobbies. Whittling is another one of my hobbies. Golf. Love to play golf and tennis. A walk in the woods. Bike riding. Some of those things depend on your physical capability. And as we age, we may lose some of that. Tennis being a good example. Although, you know, my dad played tennis into his 70s. Now he wasn't playing male singles. So hobbies are important in retirement. So is volunteer work. People who volunteer their time, particularly, according to a study done by Merrill Lynch, it's a longevity bonus. They're three times more likely to say that helping people in need brings them greater happiness than spending money or time on themselves. So that's an important thing to consider. Life expectancy. This is an interesting one. Life expectancy can be misleading because we make assumptions about things we can and can't do in retirement. So here we go. You ready? Older people who have more frequent sex tend to be happier. You might want to replay that for your... Okay, I'm kidding. Well, no, I'm not kidding. It says it right here. They're happier than those who are less sexually active, even if it's just an intimacy level where they're still cuddling and kissing and holding each other when they go to sleep at night. That's an important thing. Reduces anxiety as well. Let's take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a book I'd like to recommend to you. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. Quite a while ago, think in terms of over a decade, although the current copyright version for this book is 2009, it's an updated version by a Canadian by the name of Ernie Zalesnik. Ernie wrote a book called How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. And I said, Ernie Zalesnik, my apologies. Boy, I tell you what, we're having some word transitions today. Ernie Zalesnik. Zalesnik is a professor at Harvard who wrote a great book about the managerial mystique. I have no idea why I combined those two. The names are similar, but the subjects are totally different. So what did Ernie Zalesnik write in his book, How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free? Well, it's one of the best-selling books on retiring. I don't necessarily agree with some of his financial advice, but I do agree with this. You want to be careful when you go into retirement that you hire someone who looks out for your best interests. What Zalesnik talks about in his book that's not investment-related is gain the courage to take early retirement. In fact, the earlier the better. Why? Because your life is worth more than your money. But as an investment advisor, you might want to make sure you have enough for what you want. Now, that's different for everybody. I get amused when it says you need $2 million to retire TV show or study. You might need more if you spend a lot and you're used to earning a lot. You might need much less and be perfectly happy. I know people who retire and they get about $2,000 a month. I know one that gets just a $1,200 a month Social Security check. Absolutely fine. It's a matter of what you want. Keep that in mind. And he also covers in his book, putting money in proper perspective so you don't need $1 million to retire. Generate a purpose, in your retirement life with meaningful, creative pursuits. Getting back to hobbies. Follow your dreams instead of someone else's. Good idea at any age. Take charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health in retirement. That's also a good idea at any age. And if you're still working when you read the book, envision your retirement goals in a better way, including where you'd like to retire. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have about retiring in Florida. I haven't retired yet, but as a native Floridian and current resident, the state has a lot to offer. And above all, his goal with this book, which has sold over 110,000 copies with the first edition alone, is make your retirement years the best time of your life. And they should be, shouldn't they? I think that calls for another song. This one, for those of you who aren't retired. Retirement is out there, way over yonder. A little Carole King.
Way over yonder is a place that I know, where I can find shelter from a hunger and cold, and the sweet taste in is so easily found way over yonder. That's where I'm at. I get there, the first thing I'll see is the sun shining golden, shining right down on me. Then trouble's gonna lose me, worry leave me behind, and I'll stand up proudly in true peace of mind. Talking about a way over yonder is a place I have seen in a garden of wisdom from some long ago.
And that was Carole King, Way Over Yonder. It'll be here sooner than you think. And I hope it is a place where you can find shelter in retirement. It might be a place, getting back to hobbies, where you try something you've always wanted to try. You've learned something new. Listen, our retirement is not what it was 100 years ago because we tend to be more healthy. And we tend to have more energy, and we tend to be medically better off. Maybe it's not too late to try something new. I've always found that when you try something new, it makes you feel young again. Sometimes it also makes you feel like an idiot. The six drawers of the dresser is what I have to redo. And had I paid close attention to the instructions and possibly listened to the love of my life, I would not have had to redo the drawers. But you know what? It's sort of fun. And this dresser was a practice one. I've got a dresser and two nightstands that I really want to do a nice job on. And as I'm still working, I can't do it full time. But if I were retired, think of the fun you could have picking up furniture at thrift stores and garbage people throw furniture on the street and you know, hope somebody will grab it. And then you can get for free or very inexpensive, remake them, give them to your kids, give them to your friends, remake it and take it down and donate it to something like the Women's Resource Center in Bradenton or Goodwill or any number of charities that have thrift stores that would love to sell your handiwork. You might want to try making jewelry, knitting, crocheting. Guys, I'm talking to you too. Knitting can be fun. Granted, I haven't done it since I was a kid. I did macrame back then, too. There's all sorts of hobbies. I didn't mention the one I probably do the most. That's cooking. Got to be careful with that in retirement. Unless it's combined with an exercise program, you know, there's a reason why a lot of chefs have difficulty maintaining their weight. But, you know, there's all sorts of things that you know you've always wanted to do, but maybe somebody told you you didn't have any talent for it. For instance, painting. And I'm not necessarily referring to painting your house. Painting and artwork. You know, maybe that's the time. Who cares whether it's good or bad? It's fun. It's fun. I knew someone who shall remain nameless. And I was amazed that he lived, I think, 27 years in retirement. Pretty much in good health. His hobby was watching TV. He pretty much got up in the morning and watched TV. I think his favorite shows were either news shows, Judge Judy, Andy of Mayberry reruns, Mayberry RFD, but he still made it 27 years. That was what he liked to do. That, and if you bought chocolate ice cream, it didn't matter if it was a quart, a half gallon, or a gallon, it would be gone the same day you bought it. Unexplainably, according to him. But nonetheless, did he have a happy retirement? I think he probably did. All he did was watch TV. Am I recommending that? No. But nonetheless, it's your retirement. It's your retirement. So learning to do something new in retirement can make you feel young again. And maybe you do it in a group setting where other people are learning how to do things. Make friends. You know, we met a lady who had unfortunately had the experience, the good experience of living a long time. She's in her 80s. The misfortune of her husband and everybody that was friends either moved or passed away before her. No hobbies, no bridge, no card group, no golf. Didn't really like to do anything in particular. She'd worked very hard during her life and multiple hours in a very a profession that requires a great deal of time and dedication. And she just never had the time to develop anything, any interest in learning anything new. And so even though she was in a great location for retirement here in Florida, she moved back to be with what's left of her family in another state where there's snow. See, you need to learn something new instead. So, you know, think wide open and don't worry about what your friends say. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can always learn something new. As a matter of fact, if you listen to Tom Petty, maybe you'll learn to fly.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone, and the sun went down as it crossed the hill, and the town lit up, the world got still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days may not return, and the rocks might melt, and the sea may burn. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. The hardest thing. Hardest. some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there. I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
And that was Tom Petty, Learn to Fly. That might be a fun thing to do in retirement. I've always wanted, really wanted, to do like a bush pilot kind of thing or a small plane kind of thing. You know, the problem is I'm not exactly, well, personality type. Ooh, this gives us a little something I wasn't going to talk about today, but might be worth it. I'm not exactly the type of person who should be a pilot. There's just a lot of things you have to do pre-flight to make sure that everything goes well once you're in the air and the law of gravity becomes a very real issue. Speaking of which, in retirement, you may take up some things that your spouse may have no interest in. Not to get gender specific, and with no offense intended to either gender, recognizing there are exceptions to what I'm about to say. Ladies who tend to be more like the men I'm talking about in general, and vice versa. One of the things about investing in retirement is you have more time. And sometimes you may misuse that time to get hyper analytical on exactly how it all works. You need to know enough, but you don't need to know too much unless that's going to be your hobby, which I do not recommend. So what am I talking about? Well, you know, I met a fellow last week who was telling me he works as a salesperson. He's in retirement. He doesn't need the income, but he wanted to have some fun, so he decided to go do car sales. And he's working for Hyundai because he likes the Hyundai brand. And he was describing this top-of-the-line Hyundai Genesis that he was able to get for a really good price because it was a demonstrator model for one of his clients. Now, I'm positive if I had asked for a lot more detail on the engine and everything else, he would have given it. He knew how. But the guy is an incredible communicator, and he recognizes what people want to know. So for the lady, he was getting into this Hyundai, who's very, very academically and probably common sense, brighter than most of us in the medical field. You don't really get all the way into the medical field without being fairly bright. He didn't talk to her about the 6 or 8 cylinder engine and how it had a turbocharger and that it could do 0 to 60 in 3 point something. He didn't talk about any of the technical parts. What he talked about is what a sweet looking car, and it handles all. Marvelous handling. That's really what you need to know. I don't need to know what is under the hood of my vehicle. I just need to know that I can depend on it to get me from point A to B in a manner that I'm accustomed to. That's why I like the bigger SUVs, because I'm the manner I'm accustomed to is I don't need to worry about big puddles, rains, or potholes. Although there are some potholes in South Carolina we could chat about, but that's for another show. My point being, you don't have to know everything to enjoy something. Matter of fact, sometimes the less you know, the better. Sometimes the more you know. In investing, my recommendation is you need to know enough. And enough, at a bare minimum, is the basic concepts of asset allocation, how the asset classes work, whether your income is guaranteed or not, which I focus on, particularly in the current interest rate environment. Speaking of which, let's not have one show go by without me saying, if you own bond funds, call me or call someone. You need to get out. Interest rates eventually will go up, and until they do, you're not getting much anyway. When they go up, you're going to lose a fortune. All right, getting back on the theme of the show, as I mentioned, we've got a long-term care show coming up here shortly about the costs and the different methods of long-term care. For fun, I recorded a promo commercial for a company here in Florida that I'm very excited about because my love is working with them now. So let's give that commercial a quick try. People today are living longer than ever before, thanks to medical technology. Even when we have accidents, we're able to recover from things that not too long ago we couldn't recover from. Have you suffered from a fall lately, or are you recovering from a surgery or an illness, or maybe age is causing you to have problems remembering to take your medications, or you need help bathing or dressing, or even just handling your daily chores or going shopping? I'd like to introduce you to a company that can help you. Caring Touch provides caregivers, certified nurses' assistants, home health aides, homemakers, and companions to help you through the activities of daily living that you may be having trouble with. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll structure a schedule that works for you. Give them a call at 941-376-9338. That's 941-376-9338. And that was an unauthorized complimentary commercial for Caring Touch, available in Southwest Florida from Fort Myers, well, actually the whole Southwest coast from Tampa down. But they are expanding in their service of helping you find help for you or a loved one when you reach a stage where you can't, you know, do some things you used to be able to do anymore and you need help doing them. So you'll hear more about Caring Touch when I do the show on long-term care, which we'll talk about the cost of long-term care, how to plan for it, whether insurance is appropriate or not. It is not always appropriate. And what you can anticipate needing and who to contact when the time comes that nursing or other care is needed. Now, we've got about 5 more minutes for me to talk because I'm closing the show today. I'll probably say something after the song with one of my favorite vocalists. Now, you all know I love guitar. I mean, there's no secret there. Acoustic, I love acoustic guitar. I love classical guitar, but I really love electric guitar. So, you know, we had a little Bernard Allison. Tom Petty had a nice little riff in the middle of his Learn to Fly. We sandwiched Carole King in the middle of that with Way Over Yonder, and does Carole King have a voice? Oh, I tell you. You know, there's another lady with a great voice. There are actually quite a few of them. I'm thinking of Ella Fitzgerald and Aretha Franklin and all sorts of other unbelievable blues voices. But, you know, there was this singer that I had never heard. And I've decided I'm going to go ahead and play this song now, and I'll talk the last 5 minutes of the show. But yeah, I want to leave you with something optimistic, something maybe somewhere over the rainbow. Not Judy Garland, who did the original and awesome version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but an equally awesome version, done slightly differently. Love to know what you think of Eva Cassidy's Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere over You dare to dream, really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Melt like lemon drops, oh, way above the chimney tops. That's where you find me. Melt like lemon drops, oh, way above the chimney tops. That's where you find me. Thank you.
why, oh, why can't I? You know, you can. You can. You know, it's interesting. I got that version of Eva Cassidy, Somewhere of the Rainbow, from one of her last live concerts. And at the time she sang it, she knew she was not going to be around for that much longer. Unfortunately, cancer took her too young, but she left a legacy of unbelievable music. And you know, if you're not currently retired, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, they're blue skies. And it's okay to dare the dreams that you want to dream, because they really do come true. And if you're retired, more importantly, it's not too late to dare to do the things that you've dreamed. As a matter of fact, it's the best time. Hey, we've talked about there's a past, there's a present, and there's a future. The past is done. You can think about it differently. Hey, you know, you can. And the future's not here yet, so you can do things today that might make your future better or not, but you can't do anything in the future either. There's only one time you can do anything at any age, and that's the present. And that's the present. So maybe here as we close the show, and it's, I got to tell you, when you have a talent like Eva Cassidy sing a song like that, it's almost impossible to follow it with anything. But maybe the overall message for those of you who are looking at retirement is, whether, you know, you're concerned about the other side, as Bernard Allison put it in a slightly different context, whether you're thinking, you know, hey, it's way over yonder, I don't need to worry about it yet, but maybe, of course, it gets here quicker than you think, or you're already there. So, little Tom Petty, learn to fly. And when you fly, hey, why not fly over the rainbow? Find those blue skies. Listen, you are not limited. You are not limited. How you like that? But your finances may make you feel like you're limited, so it's a matter of getting everything in sync, is it not? Making sure that your spending is appropriate for your asset level. Hey, I had to throw that back in. We focus on life, but, you know, the money, it's a tool, but you need it. Well, I mean, you do. What can I say? So here's the closing message of the show. I'm going to repeat again. Why not dare to do the things you dream? Because, you know, they do come true. Not every dream, maybe not everything you try, but some of them do. And that makes it worth pursuing them, particularly in retirement. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Florida. So I think I may head to B-Town Coffee at some point with my companion, Harry, since, as I mentioned, my love has a new job, which she's thoroughly enjoying. Coming up on future episodes, we're going to talk a little bit more in detail, hopefully not a headache-inducing show, about long-term care. Who needs it? Why they need it? What it involves? What does it cost? How do you plan for it? How do you prepare your family for it? It can be very, very stressful for everybody involved. No, why not? We've got 30 seconds, 20 seconds. Yes. Okay, just stop watching the news. The election's not that far away. Personal opinion from your host, Paul Puckett, here on Getting There. I want you all to dare to dream and do the things you dream. They might come true. Have a great week.